May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you would, please turn to the front part of your hymnal to Psalm 65. Psalm 65. I want to recite that psalm together, as that's the basis of our meditation this evening. We'll recite it together, whole verse upon whole verse. Psalm 65. Praise to you, O God in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. When iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions.
Blessed is the one you choose, and bring him near,
we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas.
The one who by his strength established the mountains, being girded with might.
Who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples.
So that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe at your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy.
You visit the earth and water it. You break the ocean. The river of God is full of water. You provide their rain, for so you have prepared.
You water its furrows abundantly, settling its riches, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth.
You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance.
The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy.
The meadows clothe themselves with grass. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning,
is now,
and will be forever. Amen. You visit the earth and water it. You provide grain, for so you have prepared it. The pastures overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. Valleys deck themselves with grain. The sights and sounds of fall and of harvest. We kind of skipped over that this year, you maybe have noticed. Already outside, the ground has been white several times, not just once, but several times. And the stores, if you haven't noticed, the stores are also filled, not with the signs and symbols of fall and of harvest and of beautiful leaves, but we're already in the full throes of Christmas. Reds and greens deck all of the halls and the walls. And if you've gone into Kohl's recently, even 2 weeks ago, the shelves were packed full of Christmas items, and not just the shelves, the aisles themselves had carts loaded with boxes of Christmas items. But before we get into the season of I want, and gimme, before we get into that season, there's another season where we stop to give thanks, not for the things that we want, but for the things that we already have. So lest we forget it, I brought a few items today, a few items to remind us that we are still in that season of fall and of harvest, and we're thinking about these types of things. I know maybe as we think about Thanksgiving tomorrow, maybe, you know, I know it's known as Turkey Day these days, or Football Thursday, or whatever people are thinking about, but that certainly does get our minds a little bit more on the season. Maybe our minds will be focused on that very first Thanksgiving, where the Native Americans gathered together with the pilgrims, and they celebrated. They celebrated how God had provided for them in the midst of great difficulty, had gotten them through, probably on behalf of some of those natives who knew how to actually grow crops in this world and shared that abundance of knowledge with others. Maybe we focus our minds a little bit on pumpkin. I know I'm anticipating tomorrow a little bit of pumpkin pie. And I'm thinking about things like squash and corn, all of those types of fall things that we see as they gather in. Here's yet another sign or symbol maybe of the season that is quite appropriate as well. We see it up here on the wall this evening. I was really surprised one of the youngsters today mentioned this right off the bat, which was a good thing, I think. You know, Ethan Best, right away. A horn of plenty or a cornucopia, a sign or a symbol of the season. And it is appropriate because Thanksgiving is really what that is all about. Thanksgiving is, in its purest sense, a little bit of a harvest festival that we sing about tonight. We sang about it several times, about how the harvest is coming in. A sure and certain reminder that the things that we'll be filling our bellies with tomorrow don't really just magically and mythically show up in the grocery store. Food does not grow in the grocery store, even though they kind of sound similar, but rather they come from the ground. They are drawn from fields. They are fields that are wisely planted by farmers, agricultural workers, drawn from the field. Mysteriously, really, if you think about it, I thought Pastor Schmidtke did a great job talking about seed the other day, looking rather dead and lifeless. And it is a miracle that something so shriveled and so dead, if you just put it in the right circumstances, suddenly sprouts with life. I'm sure the folks down at the ag department can explain to us all of the various, biological processes of why that happens. But it is a rather mysterious thing if you think about it. And the harvest is now in. The harvest is in. One of my Iowa friends just yesterday posted on his Facebook page that harvest was done. And how appropriate that it finishes at this very time. The harvest is in, and with such abundance, even though we do know that there are pockets in our country that don't have a whole lot, the harvest is in great abundance. I was really introduced to that first at my first parish when I was introduced to the topic of how many fields were just left unplanted, and that the government actually paid farmers not to plant because they didn't want to have the pressure put on the prices. The prices would be supported. So they paid farmers, don't plant your field, keep the prices at a decent place so that people can live. We'll help, we'll supplement, because there's such an abundance. Our land, our country produces crop in such a great abundance that we pay people not to plant. I was introduced to that concept of how blessed we are as a nation, how fruitful our country is, when I moved then to Iowa, and I noticed that when it come time for fall, there were these mountains of grain. And I want to tell you, there are mountains of grain that were cast out on the ground. They just kept piling higher and higher and higher. You always knew that it was a great harvest, because they were spilling grain on the ground, which, by the way, is not a great thing. Grain, as we know, when it gets wet, it spoils. It starts to sprout. It can be ruined. So if they're spilling it out on the ground, that's because the storehouses are full. And year after year after year, it would be January, and these mountains of grain would still be sitting there in town. We are an incredibly blessed nation. Just as David noticed about his own nation. The Psalms, we know, were written in a time when people lived amongst farms and fields, and they were familiar with harvest times and setting. It's in God's author for Psalm 65, King David, looks out across perhaps fields owned by himself and those of his nation, and he is struck by how blessed his people are. Psalm 65 is King David's song of thanksgiving. Before anybody ever sang a hymn of "Now thank we all our God," or "We praise thee, O God, our Redeemer and Creator," before any of those songs were written, a hymn book of praise and thanksgiving recording Psalm 65 was written by David, a song that God's people sang. "You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance." King David praised God for filling his fields and his storehouses with grain, for filling their lives with many other things. And it's what we do. It's what we do now in this season of thanks. And it's appropriate because we sometimes forget. We forget. We chalk things up to ourselves. We talk about our own hard work and our own skills and our own talents and our own efforts and our own money. And maybe in a certain sense we possess it. But behind it all is our God who gives it. A God who gives all of this, the abundance, along with the very life and the breath and the skills and the abilities and even more. We've already mentioned tonight that there are those gathered together in this country who do not have near as much, who don't feel nearly so blessed in a physical sense tonight as some of us do. Tragedies come. We know that. We know that disasters befall. We know that out in California, entire communities wiped out and burned. We know that some families tonight don't know where their family members are. I heard last night that some of them may never be found. We know that just a little more than a month ago, there was a huge hurricane that came wiping through Florida and Georgia. I really didn't think too much about that. I knew that there would be people who would be without their homes in Florida. But I didn't really know how much it would impact me until my Kiwanis Club was selling pecans, and we can't get our pecans. We can't get our pecans because the hurricane came through, and you know where pecans come from. They come out of Georgia, and the pecan crop is really going to suffer. There are people who things that we take for granted, and people that are taking care of things behind the scene, and all of a sudden we have such abundance, and then we're struck with being reminded tonight that out of our abundance there are still people who are in need. And the storehouses and the abundance that we have, sometimes it gives us to remember that we don't have, as there are those who don't have tonight. Sometimes it's us in the past who have hurt. And these things remind us to receive as God gives. Not to in pride and with just a little bit of too much self-reflection, rejecting help, but rejoicing that God provides as he does provide. Sometimes through our own skills, but sometimes he would remind us just how much we are dependent upon him. As we maybe find those ordinary ways of things being provided for us taken away, or we find ourselves hurting in some way, and then God steps up and he provides by the name. Just as he provides for us to help others, he provides others to help us in our need. We are reminded that God provides these and even greater gifts. Because as Christians, we gather together tonight. We gather together tonight in recognition of the times that maybe we haven't been so thankful. As we think about it tonight and looking around, there are an awful lot of folks who have maybe bypassed what the real thanks is all about. Real thanks is in the blessings and the gifts that God gives, but we sometimes get so caught up with ourselves that we miss what the real blessings are. So we gather, recognizing that there are times when we haven't been so thankful. We gather recognizing that there have been some times when we haven't been so appreciative of the things that we have. We gather recognizing that sometimes we've gathered with a rather grumbling spirit because we have, but we don't have as the way we want. We've had to depend upon others to give, and out of pride we've put up walls again. We celebrate tonight that God nonetheless meets us in our sins, in our griefs, in our sorrows. He greets us with his love and his forgiveness. By awesome deeds, David writes, you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation. God provides a cornucopia, a horn of plenty when it comes to his grace and forgiveness and love. That's more than just an expression. Let us do more than just express our thanks, but let's draw others into our thanksgiving tonight and tomorrow and in the days ahead. In this season of gimme, 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 how about we draw others into our thanks by remembering that there are those who have less, by offering a kind word, by giving a generous gift, by sharing God's graces. You know, he graces us that we might grace others. He blesses us that we might be blessings to still more. Sharing all of these blessings, but especially God's gift of grace, which we know that he sent his son Jesus into this world to be that great offering of grace, to be that source of righteousness, to be what we cannot be on our own, to carry and to bear away all of our sins that we might be dressed in his righteousness. And not just us, but what does the word say? We are reminded in that very same word that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for filling our cornucopias with many earthly blessings. We have many things to be thankful for. When our lives were empty, you filled them with the bounty of your grace. Bless us to live thankfully every day, giving not just the things of this earth, but the greatest blessings of all, your love, your grace, your mercy and forgiveness that you have so abundantly poured out on us. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Amen. We gather our gifts for the Savior.